All right, and so here we are live on BBS Radio, globally over the internet. Thank you all for those who participate over the internet. This is the Sunday Grid Healing Call. We are still welcoming those who call in over the conference call line. And I welcome the next.
Hi there, this is Ray from Nevada.
Good morning, Ray. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, guys. How are you?
Doing fine, man. Thanks for being here.
Good.
Good morning, Joel from Chicago.
Good morning, Joel. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Hi, how are you?
All right. Thank you also for being here.
You're the host with the most. What do we do without you?
And welcome to the next caller. Thanks for being here at the Grid Healing Call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, good morning. Zoe Sacramento. Hi, everybody.
Hello,
hi,
good morning.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi.
Good morning, Zoe.
Hi,
Zoe.
Hi,
Zoe.
Hi.
Yeah, she's here.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday Grid Healing Call. Please say your name and location. If you want to.
I guess not.
Well, very welcome. We have a nice group of people already here. Vin is also with us on the line. Good morning. Welcome to the Grid Healing Call. Please say your name and location.
Hi there. It's Jenny from Ontario.
Hi, Jen. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been lonely, a bit lonely, so it's really good to connect with my extended family today.
Fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Group hug.
And then welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
This is Wynn, and I am back.
All right. Welcome back.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Gary?
Yes.
Hi, Wynn. Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi,
Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. It's your call.
So, what's going on with Wynn?
This is all fake. Nobody likes you.
He's never there and never ready.
Where's Tara?
That is your email, Wynn.
Where's he?
This is Michael from Water on the Lake.
Good morning, Michael. How are you doing?
Hi, Michael.
I'm doing
good.
Hey,
Michael.
Hi.
So we got
Michael. How's the weather there?
You don't want to know.
I'm looking at sunny skies with a few clouds, and I'm wondering what the temperature's like outside.
Good for you.
Is Terry here?
No, she's not. And Wynn, you haven't gotten the email out. Jim is here.
Well, okay. Here's my list of excuses.
Yes, Terry. Sure.
Speak up, Wynn.
I'm in Los Angeles. I am in Los Angeles.
Hi, I'm in California too.
And
Morgan,
I did a.
Hi, Morgan.
Hi, Morgan.
Hi, Dom.
And I did a talk yesterday.
How did it go?
Every time I do a talk, I end up staying up the night before, driving all night to get to Los Angeles, and I'm not together today. I haven't caught up on my sleep. So that's why I didn't get the email out, although I'm trying to do it right now.
Great.
Just a moment, and you know what? It's amazing. God, don't do anything. You know, at one point in your life, nobody's paying attention to you, and you're saying, God, I wish somebody would pay attention to me. And then suddenly people are paying attention to you, and there's one big problem with attention and people counting on you. Suddenly you have to be responsible. Jeez.
And
don't have to. I'm under pressure now. And here we go. I'm going to get this mailing out. I mean, I can actually see a lot less people are coming into the call because they didn't get my mailing, huh?
No.
What was your mailing?
Announcement for today's call.
Oh,
we have a list of people that we send every day. Not every day. Is Carla here? Is Terry here?
Terry is here.
I'm here.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Good morning, Terry.
Hi.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning,
Terry. Hi.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey. Hope you're fine, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hey.
You have a fan club, Terry.
Wow.
Better than the alternative. I think.
We love our angel.
Now, Wynn, but you in Los Angeles?
No.
I was
Carla's in Kentucky, but she was going to come in the call today, okay?
Yeah.
But,
Has Carla ever been on Coast to Coast?
No.
Okay.
I'm actually kind of working on that.
Yeah, I heard some women channeling. I wasn't sure if it was her or not.
Somebody was channeling right on Coast?
This is like the Zeta people. Have you ever heard that somebody's doing the Zeta thing?
The Zetas? They were on Coast? The Zetas?
Yeah, whoever, one of the women that channels them, I don't, or claims to.
Normally, they don't have channels on Coast to Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not very often. But...
No.
The Zeta woman was on there, though.
Yeah.
She's been on there more than once, the one that does Zeta talk.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
Nancy Leader.
Right.
Okay. Here we go. I'm getting ready to send this. Ta-da.
Hero.
Is my voice clear?
It's okay. Yes, it's clear. Yes.
Sounds good to me, Jay.
I can tell you during the...
Don't start recording.
Don't start recording yet. I'm still sending the mail out. Okay? Okay, here it goes. Boom. It just left. We won't send it on Twitter. No Facebook. Publish. Done. Okay, now we can get ready to start. Let's see here. Are you on the console, guys?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
This is Roger in Austin.
Terry of
Boulder. Hey, Roger. I'm Terry in Boulder City. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Lynn.
Hey, we had, was it lunch or breakfast?
Breakfast.
We had breakfast. Terry came in from Boulder City into Sedona on vacation.
Great,
thanks. What, breakfast or Sedona?
Breakfast in Sedona was wonderful.
Sounds
isn't
like
that a movie?
That was Breakfast in Tiffany's.
Heartline.
Okay, now. Almost here. Good morning. She said somebody that just got my email.
This is Nancy in Michigan.
Hi, Nancy.
Good afternoon. Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon. Is Pauline here?
I haven't seen her, no.
Oh, okay.
By the way, this is Kathy from Colorado.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
All right. And Terry's here, right?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Good morning. This is
Gary from Utah.
Gary. Hi, Gary.
How are we doing, Lynn?
Good morning. Would you like to say your name and city? Hello, hello. Okay. All right. We're muting everybody. We are starting the recording. Hello to everybody on BS Radio.
This conference is being recorded.
This is March 17th, 2013. Wynn in Los Angeles. Terry in Sedona, Arizona, and all of you all over the world. And this is our Sunday grid healing, and I thank you all so much for showing up and being part of this work we're doing. And I do mean we. It's a we work. And the more I go, the more I understand how that is, and how, you know, how special all of you are for choosing. You have to choose to be here, and it's like I just had an interesting situation, and I did a live event in L.A. yesterday, and I did it myself, and I'm here, and Terry's in Sedona, and Daphne's in Half Moon Bay, so I did the event by myself, I drove the night, all night, and originally, I'm doing an event tomorrow and on next Sunday in San Diego at a place where I kind of cut my teeth in learning how to talk about this material. There was something called Holistic Living Expos. And when The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce first came out, I called up the producer of that expo, and he invited me to come to San Diego. His name was Dean Price, and talk on the book. And it was all fairly last minute, and Terry and I drove down, and I believe it might have been my first public talk on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And this is the event that I refer to so often, where when I was talking, there was all this energy in the room, and people were leaving the room to go buy the book and saying they could see auras. And I kept saying to myself, what is that? And that's when I asked them, and I said, they said, they were helping me when I showed up. And so we did a couple more events at this guy's expos, and they were all over California. I mean, Northern California, Southern California. And I would drive to the expos, sometimes sleep in my car. And usually we never sold enough books to make it pay for itself or to make a profit, but even to make it pay for itself and break even. And so at a certain point, I did a talk in Pasadena at a fellow who was doing a weekly dinner in the Pasadena area, Roy Gibbons. And I was gonna talk about the book, and I think this had to be in 2004 when the book first came out. I was going to talk about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I was talking to Roy on the phone, and I was telling him about what had happened to me personally. And Roy said, you've got to talk about that. You've got to tell your story. And I said, said, no, I can't really talk about that. No, I mean, I want to talk about the book. Finally, he convinced me, and I went and I told the story for the first time publicly of what had happened with me with Daphne and Terry. And it was okay. No one threw tomatoes. No one hated me. And I think I got to put another power supply on. Well, let's see. Is it working now? Now it's working. Okay. And I continued to go around and do talks. And, you know, it's very interesting because at that particular time, it seemed like the only way to get this out into the world was to do public talks. And how else do you reach people? And so that was my focus, to go out and talk. And I saw every time that energy would be in the room, and some of you are here today, perhaps, because you went to one of those talks. And I got a feeling we're going to be in trouble. Terry, if I cut off because, let me see here.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Just be prepared because I'm in a motel and the power supply for my computer keeps cutting off. And I think what I'll do here is maybe I'll get my cell phone online here. So if we disconnect. Okay. Is Carla here by any chance? Carla was going to show up today, but all right. So I learned to talk about this material doing those expos because I had no idea initially how to talk about it, how people were going to respond. And it was all kind of scary. Like, what are people going to say? Are they going to think I'm crazy? Are they going to think I'm anti-Christian, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I don't know, you know, but I did it. And then I didn't do any of Dean's expos for a very, very long time. And I decided to do, he was doing an expo in Carlsbad in San Diego. Terry, no yawning on the line.
Oh, sorry.
Didn't think we could hear you, did you? I'm the one that should be tired. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, we did Dean's expo, and it's today, which means I've got to drive down to San Diego after I check out of this motel. And then I added on a little talk in Los Angeles last minute. And there's a little community spiritual center here in L.A. called Gateway. And the fellow that has it has been suggesting that I talked there for quite some time. And so I called him and I said, do you have a space for me to, hang on, 1 second, excuse me.
Okay, we might have lost Wynn. Let me take a look over here. Yes, I think Wynn dropped out.
He was going to get his cell phone and come back, I think.
So, Terry, you're going to be down there next weekend or not in Southern California?
I'm debating going.
Okay.
Being tax season, and
Wynn is back.
Okay.
Hello.
All right, Wynn.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Okay, I switched to my cell phone because the computer's acting up in this strange location. So, am I clear, Lance? Can you hear me on the cell phone okay?
It's not as clear, but it's okay.
It'll have to do, I think. Terry? Terry, are you there?
Yes.
Did you talk while I was gone?
A little bit.
Okay. So, in any case, it was very interesting to do a live talk. And one of the things that I've learned from the time that I first did talks, and I thought that was the way to get this out there, was the difference between being entertaining and making a profound contribution to someone. And that part of me knows how to be entertaining. And being entertaining is fairly easy because as long as you keep people smiling and making them laugh, you feel safe. And when you stop being entertaining, and then you go into this area where there's sacredness, where there's more, you know, a lot of personal vulnerability, it's more scary. And because you're not getting feedback. When you're getting feedback, you know people love you. And when you're not getting feedback, in other words, they're not laughing, they're not smiling, when you're not getting that kind of feedback, and you go into that area, it's like, well, what are they thinking of me? But it's in that area where there's no feedback visually or anyway that you make the biggest difference. And whenever I do a public talk, particularly I was very tired yesterday, and I didn't think I did a good job. I looked at it and I said, I think I was too relying on being entertaining. And, you know, you can tell if I did a good job, because if I did a really good job, there'll be people coming into the calls. And to me, the purpose of doing a public talk is not to be entertaining, not, you know, perhaps to be enlightening. You know, there's certain things I can share which are enlightening, that are things people never heard before. Most of all, I want to give people an opportunity, as many of you have learned, the work we're doing is a phenomenal opportunity to switch your energy, to feel connected, and to have a fellowship with people. And so many people need that, but they don't know they need that. I think particularly in Los Angeles, if anyone is listening now who was at the LA meeting, I'm probably not talking about you personally, but just in general, in many places, people are just striving all the time. And particularly in L.A., L.A. is built to make people strive. They have to become successful. They have to, you know, be something. And if you don't fit into that mold, then you feel like a failure. You feel out of it. And so we had an LA audience last minute, and I was too funny, I guess. I mean, I told the story, I did everything, and also I tried something new. We had a full production show with me sitting there, and Carla came and said hello to everybody. Daphne did, Terry did. We did a session, and maybe it was really good. Maybe I was just too tired to know that it was good, because as it got close to the end of the 4 hours, I started falling asleep while I was looking at people. So that's not a good sign for doing a good event. And we'll see how I do today. You know, the work that I do over the phone has evolved so much from doing the events years ago, which I thought was the way to go. In fact, let me see. Francis, I don't think Francis met me at an event, but Francis was on the line. Actually went to one of Dean's expos in Concord, where she lives. I don't think he's doing them in Concord anymore. But I see in today's world how when you start doing things in the public and thinking of the public, it can become such a distraction. And, you know, years ago when I was when I had first met David Wilcock, and I had a reading from David, at that time he was not representing himself anything like he is now, and he was doing readings, and I was testing him out. And I wanted to see if I really wanted to write this book. And there were a couple of things in the reading that came up that were really quite amazing and perceptive. And I knew it wasn't David giving me that information. One of the things that came up was they talked about me being on a stage, and that when the show was over, the show wasn't really over. Because up to that point, I always thought of myself as entertaining, going up playing music, going up giving a lecture, you know, whatever. And that when you were finished, you were on to the next thing. And then they were saying that was not really the way it worked for me. Or I know what they were suggesting. And it was like when you're operating in the law of one, nothing is ever over, okay? How do we say this? When we talk to you, when we open our hearts to each other, you never go away. You're always there. And I don't even know you, some of you. And yet, you're inside me energetically. And I'm inside you energetically. Not by any force, just out of free will connection. Because love if it's real love, it stays. If you note, oftentimes the Elohim will end the call, say, we leave, but we do not leave. We leave, but we do not leave. What a profound... What a profound... who the heck is that making noise? Let me mute that person in the background. Okay. Which means, once you love somebody in a spiritual way, once you love somebody in the law of one, I don't know if you could make a choice about it, but once that occurs, if it's happening like that, they never go away. They're always part of you. Unless, of course, they betray the love, or you betray the love, and that separates the energies. But otherwise, it becomes something you can feel inside you. And it's a very sacred thing to occur. It's very sacred. To allow someone to live inside you and you to live in them as a loving energy. And on some level, it's something we all long for. We feel lonely. We look for things out in the world. And of course, we look for someone out in the world. And we all have the experience, or most of us have the experience, of being in a very loving, romantic relationship. And when the relationship ends, you never talk to the person again. Okay? They're in history. So that was not the law of one. That was human love, as if you could possess someone, and when they're gone, they're gone. And it's not like having someone live inside you as a loving energy. Now, the good news is that it's a wonderful experience. And the bad news is if you have patterns that are working on older levels where it's very hard to go back to those patterns once you have that experience of loving someone in the context of the law of one, where they never go away. Now, it's not easy to model. Let me see if I don't know if I'm saying this in the most clearest way. So let me go a little step further and say, when I say they never go away, it doesn't mean that you're haunted by them. It doesn't mean that you have, they're preoccupying your mind. It means that their frequency and your frequency are available to each other. It's almost, let me see if I get this right. I'm speculating here. You know, I never thought about this before. I never said it in these words. So I might get it wrong, but let me see. It's as if on the other side level, that when people make a law of one affiliation, their frequencies cross. So suddenly, you both have new frequencies added to your reservoir. And as you love people, there's new frequencies added. The Elohim and the Ra group have frequencies add it to your reservoir. What's a reservoir? It's a holding tank for water. Now, there's these frequencies that are being held in your tank out of free will, and what happens is the reservoir, as it gets strong, gets to be shared by more than one person. And in fact, those of you on this line, and I, and Terry, and Daphne, we are actually building a reservoir that's holding energies in it. And each of us is contributing our frequencies to those energies. So the reservoir becomes a stable point that you can access for your own nourishment and fulfillment. And we're creating it as a team. So as long as there's a certain amount of people thinking, holding that space, if you happen to get weak, you can go back to that reservoir and tap into it, and it pulls you out of it. And so it becomes a stable creation that didn't exist except for the fact that we're creating it. And this is what the Ra group meant when they gave me that reading through David Wilcock, that when you're off the stage, you're not really off the stage, because there's, they didn't use these words, but there's still the reservoir, and the reservoir stays regardless of whether people are paying attention to you. Now, you don't have to spend a lot of time. This reservoir creates itself as a natural outcome of the work we're doing. And I've never put it into these words before, but I never thought about it in these terms exactly. But I'm sharing it because I did a public event yesterday, and on some level, it felt like I failed. And I felt like I was going back to an old pattern of entertaining. Well, you do have to entertain people at a live event. Though you people are coming, hitting the ground, running, many of you, and you're already building the reservoir, and even though you never thought about it in those terms before, you get it when I say it, and it makes sense. And, you know, you go to a new crowd, particularly in a new age crowd, and there's this, they want an experience right away. They expect that. And it's hard, I can't just avoid that expectation because I have to get people's attention and interest before I can move on. I have to make myself credible. It's good if they like me and I seem like a pleasant guy, and then going on from there. And I suppose because I was tired yesterday, I stayed too much in the entertainment mode and didn't move into the next step strong enough. I did the best I could, but it was just interesting to observe it, to observe the process. And, you know, I am sure I am like a model of everyone. What I go through is just another thing that you go through in a different way, of course. I mean, you're not giving public talks, but you do have relationships. And can you identify your relationships in such a way that you can see the ones that live inside you and the ones that are entertainment? I'm sure if you think about it, you'll see. If you, not everyone is lucky enough to have people that live inside them that have that kind of loving energy with another person. And so don't judge yourself if you don't have that. Create it as a model or a vision. And you know what? If you're on this line and you keep coming into this line, you're having it with us, even if we don't know you. You don't have to know somebody to have them live inside you. It just has to be unconditional love, total free will, the law of one. And right now, as I'm talking, there's an energy moving that you can feel, many of you can feel, and that is us. We're living inside each other. And when you get this idea of the law of one and living inside another being, and I don't know if I'm using the right terminology, saying living inside, because somebody might think that's an attachment or an invasion. I don't want anything inside me. Well, as long as there's total free will, there's no invasion. Everybody likes company. Everybody likes fellowship, camaraderie. Most people do. And so this is like company to the next level. Finding that you love, when you love somebody and you're in the experience of the law of one, it just never goes away. It stays. And you start building a reservoir. Oh, my God. It's a good thing I didn't prepare this conversation. This is what I prepared. I don't know where I'm going to go. And I'm always totally amazed. You know, in a sense, you know, if you look at some of Jesus' words, we're talking about the kind of stuff that Jesus talked about, but he said in the language of the time, the Father and I are one, okay? What does it mean to be one? To live inside you. When two or more are gathered. I don't know if that implies this idea. I'd have to go through, but I am sure there are many statements from the Bible which talk about this. And it seems to me that we are developing it as a group right here. We are learning it. I am learning it. Terry's learning it. We are learning how to have love, unconditional love, love that never goes away. That once you start building these reservoirs with love, you are totally changing the universe. Everything is changing because it never goes away. It's permanent. I don't think it ever goes away. And I think it lasts until you die, and then it probably still goes on. It's probably what says, hey, guys, we're a team now. Let's go build a solar system. Let's go do this. And, you know, I'll throw this idea out. This idea has occurred to me in the past that if you take the way the Elohim had described the way creation started, and they talked about a number of them, of Elohim souls, all focusing on something, and that created the beginning of the physical universe, and here we are in the physical universe, all focusing on something, and I'm suggesting that that combination of energy comes and starts to create a permanent change in the universe. And many of you are noticing these things that we call the negative, which are real, are not on top of you. They're not, you're not as impacted. You know, Daphne said something that was profound in a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and she said, you either have to create or be created upon. In other words, if you're kind of passive and inert and you expect something to change, it doesn't. And there are lots of energies all around you that have intentions, and many of them are negative. And if you're in an inert, kind of neutral, passive state, those energies will work on you. They will impact you, and you'll feel the effect of them. You'll feel that you're being controlled by the negative. And then the next step is to get rebellious and say, damn these guys, get out of here. And you're stuck because you have to create your way out of it. Now, how do you do that? You have to figure it out. But creation comes from volitional action. I mean, I've made many, many suggestions in the course of these calls, everything from going to old age homes to calling your aunts and uncles up who are dying, God knows what. But there's many things to do to create your way out of the situation. And as you create, you bring in new energies and new possibilities of volitional action. Now, as you're passive, you allow things to work on you, and oftentimes you end up where you wished you weren't, or with people that you wished you weren't with, because they're creating their thing on you, and you're just flexible. You know, why do we have what's called the sheeple? Why are the great masses of people so ignorant of what's going on? You know, there's so many negative agendas going on, and most people are clueless. And because they're being created upon. They're watching television. They're reading the newspapers. The people around them are all laying trips on them. And they're just like sticky paper. Everything sticks, and they can't move it through them. So you have to create your way out of that. If you're feeling those kinds of things, if you're feeling that you have no freedom, you can't do anything, everything is affecting you, then you have to find the point of volitional action that you can take to throw yourself through that. And it's going to be different for everyone. So you can't say, well, what should I do? What should I do? Do anything. Experiment. You know, experimenting is a great way to move through things. And, you know, every time you do an experiment, you don't know how it's going to turn out. So don't risk more than you can lose, but take risks and be willing to lose something. I mean, I came to L.A., and it was a risk, and I look at it, and first of all, I didn't have many people come to the workshop. We probably had about 14, and that was not enough to cover the expenses, at least up till now. Who knows what will happen in San Diego, but we'll see. We'll see when we get there. I'm willing to have nobody show up because I haven't been focusing on a public presence for quite some time. Although I was on George Norrie, that was a big public presence. Some of you, many of you heard me. See, there is a value in the right public presence. to have new people exposed, and it gives them a chance to you know, explore all this work we're doing and make connection with it. But the risk was we came here and spent money, spent gas. I'm in a motel, and not enough people came to nearly pay the expenses. But we could afford that, barely. Not largely, but barely. And other times, if we had an event like this and we lost money, we wouldn't be eating for a week. Or, you know, it would affect survival. So we could afford it. So it was a risk. You never know how it's going to happen. Maybe I'll show up in San Diego today and there'll be 100 people or 50 people or 30 people, maybe enough to cover the expenses and then cover the expenses of this trip. And if there's not, then we're still surviving. We didn't risk more than we could lose. And you have to take risks sometimes when you're doing volitional action to see where it goes. You know, there was a fellow who wrote a motivational book in the 70s. His name was Robert Ringer. And he had something in one of his books that really impacted me, which I can still remember now. It was a long time ago. He talked about let me see if I can remember it now. I know the idea of it. The path of acquisition means getting new things, has to do with the formation of a negative postulate. And I don't know what that means. Probably didn't get it the first time. I didn't get it the first time, so don't feel bad. But it's like if you want something, acquisition. You want to, mostly you were talking about motivation and making money. If you wanted to make money, especially if you're in sales or anything, like let's suppose you need a job. Let's suppose you're one of those people, you need a job. And so in normal motivational thinking, you say, I'm going for an interview today. I'm going to get the job. This is going to be my job. And you pump yourself up and you're going to make a good impression. And you go out and you don't get the job. Now you have to go lick your wounds and recover from all that energy that was so sure that it was going to get this job. So what this guy Robert Ringer said is most things don't happen. That's just the way it goes. And so the chances are you're not going to get the job. But statistically, if you go for 100 interviews, you will get a job, okay? The problem is you pump yourself up so much for this interview that you have to recoup because you feel rejected now. You took it personally. You know, you have to recoup for a period of time until you go to the next interview. And if you had told yourself, well, I'm probably not going to get this job, but this is one step closer to getting a job because I'm going to go to 100 interviews, and by the time I do 100 interviews, I'll probably have a job, then you could have done 100 interviews and not blown so much energy by getting your anticipation up and convincing yourself this was going to be the job. So, in a sense, if I'm going out and doing public talks, and I keep doing it, so, I mean, there's always some success in a public talk. There's always somebody that's going to be reached one way or another. And when I was on my way driving here, I stopped at a truck stop, and I ended up having the waitress sit next to me and the trucker next to me, And I reached those people. We had a phenomenal conversation, unexpected people that I would connect with. And the waitress came from a Catholic background, and I showed her the picture of Terry, and she was quite amazed, and they'll probably both be on our call sooner or later, but even you never know. But nonetheless, if I did 100 talks, and even willing not to worry about whether I made money, but if I did 100 talks, I would have to be successful. It would build the energy. I'd end up meeting people in the audience that wanted to give some kind of support to this work, that would find it important. But I have to be able to afford to not make money. At one point, The Reincarnation came out, the book. I would go give talks. You know, I'm telling you, like, there's a nuts and bolts mechanics to all of this. It's not so obvious. I was doing talks, and I would go to a bookstore, and I'd do...
Sitting out, Vin.
It sounds like he's cut out now. My phone cut out a minute ago.
All right, let's hang in there.
Okay.
Is there anything you can get, Terry?
I was, last night I stayed up all night doing transcripts. I really got into a zone, and I edited about 5 or 6 transcripts, and I was just amazed by some of the material in the transcripts, and it's really important material. We're getting them up on the spiritchannel.net. And I think it's going to be a good channeling on the call today. I'm getting stuff that they often play off the things that Wynn was talking about. And some of the stuff is pretty interesting about connecting up with the sources and then building an energy reservoir, and then it can stay with one. And just to know that they're there, and just to know that you're really connected. The frequencies are there, whether you dip into them or not, and the frequencies are loving, the energy beings are loving. And is Wynn back yet?
No, I don't see Wynn back yet.
Okay. I wanted to ask a question, Heist. I've noticed that I'm doing all these transcripts, and the border of my computer is turning, when I do them, it's turning light pink. Light pink is the color of the sources when they come in. And I wondered if you ever had that happen.
No, I have not noticed.
I'm back, I think.
Okay.
How long was I gone?
About 5 minutes.
5 minutes. God. And I was just getting to the good part of everything, and I forgot it all. Well, I kept talking away, but I'm back on Skype, and I'm stuck between Skype and my computer power that goes off and my cell phone that doesn't have good reception in downtown Los Angeles. So we will just continue, and I'm staying very still so my computer stays on. And, you know, I share this because those of you that are listening, when we do this and it works well, it looks so smooth. We look slick, but we're not. I don't know if we look slick. Do you think we look slick? Maybe we don't look slick, but it looks like we have it down, and we don't. This is like a mom-and-pop corner store. And behind the scenes, there's all this scurrying about to make it work. Also, that because we have discovered that we can live inside of each other. And suddenly, there's a responsibility. As soon as you let someone live inside you, as soon as you let yourself love someone in that way, you have a certain responsibility for them. Now, there's a limit to how responsible you can be for another person, no matter how much you like them. One of the problems is you let people live inside you, and then they're having problems. They can't pay their bills. Their house has been foreclosed. And I mean, I start feeling, geez, I want to get them out of that problem. I can feel their pain. And I'm helpless. I don't know how to do it. So I have to let that go. I have to let it go so that it can, I don't block my greater work being worried about them. It just has to go. It's just their body. It's just this life. They're going to be back again and again. But the loving of living inside people doesn't end with life. That goes on and on and on. Okay? That's law of one. It's eternal. And I was explaining that thing about the formation of a negative postulate to get a positive outcome. Remember?
Yes.
Did I complete that? Did I?
Yes.
You did. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. I just wanted to not leave that hanging. So, if you want something to happen, don't pump your energy up on each little opportunity and say, this is going to be the one. Be wise and say, say to yourself that most things don't happen, and keep going, because if you do enough things, you'll get it. That's the idea. And I mean, for us to figure out how to connect with people and do what we're doing now, it took, 2002, I started writing a new book and having experience with Daphne, 2002, 2008, 2009, probably took till 2009. From 2002 to 2009, of trying different things and also learning all this stuff so that we could actually do what we're doing now and say, this is working. But it took a lot of trial and error. And there's Ariel calling me on the phone. Let's Ariel, you hear me? Oh, you're trying to get on the phone and then wouldn't go through. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you using the right number?
I'm not sure.
Now, I want you to know, I got everyone listening to you right now. Okay?
Don't make a fool of me. I'm just trying to get on the line.
Well, if you try to get on the line while I'm on the line, that's what you're going to get. I'm going to put you on. You're not a fool. I was just talking about how you have to keep trying and doing something till you get it right. Okay?
No. I'm trying.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to suggest that you should listen to the replay, okay? Because I'm on the phone now. People are waiting for me. So bless you, and I'll talk to you later.
Everyone, good morning. Send me the prayers. Thank you.
They're hearing you, okay?
Bless you guys.
What city are you in, Ariel?
Napping with Arrowhead Makers.
All right. Okay. And they don't know what a foot napper is. That's some Native American term. But Ariel identifies with Native Americans and makes arrows. Is that right? You make arrows?
I make arrows and blades.
Arrows and blades.
And arrowheads.
And it's one of the ways she makes money. She sells them while she's traveling around, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll see you later. Okay?
Okay.
And just remember,
I love you guys.
Anytime you call me during a call, you run the risk of me putting you on.
Oh, I do? Oh, I gotta go. Bye.
All right. So, in any case, let me go to our healing list. Now, you know, this whole talk today, maybe it's an explanation of how some of the stuff that, you know, when you first hear about healing and Elohim, it all seems like magic. And it's not magic. It's just a higher way of the rules of the universe. And that as we start to affiliate energies, as we, you know, I was using the terminology today of, how would we say it? Using the term reservoir for group energy. And maybe you were tuning in and grasping that in a different way. It's, you know, it's different ways of saying the same thing. And I'm working here on getting our healing list up. So maybe more intuitively, when you see that idea of love living inside each other, and that we're doing that, and that as we do that, we build a reservoir, and that that reservoir is not limited. It allows other people to tap into it as long as they're coming in love. See, love is the key that gets you into tapping into the energy of the reservoir. And so when we have a healing list, in the highest sense, that list is connected to the reservoir. And of course, we only don't have each other's love living inside us. We have the love of these sources that are working with us, living inside us, and us living inside them. So there's an enormous amount of power in that. And just a moment here. I am opening up our healing list. And that's why this can work. And it started as an experiment. And as you see, the stuff I'm sharing with you right now, I could only share with you if I learned it. I couldn't, none of this stuff can you find in books. You can. There's things about books, okay? And, but this working knowledge of it can only come experientially. I mean, if I read this in a book, I don't think I would have understood how to implement it. But, you know, being on these calls, working with you, you working with these energies, I think you understand it. It kind of makes sense. And it, we're learning this together. This is not metaphysical knowledge. This is not esoteric knowledge. This is actually working knowledge of doing something, learning how to do something, and practically seeing how it works. And it's 11:09, and we got to go through all of this by noon. So let's go through the healing list. And we have Bridget in Berry Creek, sending this energy to allergies and asthma, constant coughing. Nothing has helped. Bridget, send me an email. We had something that worked for somebody that had allergies, okay? Send me an email, and I'll tell you what it was. Barbara in Australia. Prolapse, stiff muscle, with nerve problems as a result. We send a light healing to that. Michelle in Charleston. We have here, she's on the verge of a change and being held back by fear and negativity. Help to overcome and move on to the next step in light. Thank you. You know what? That's not an unusual experience. I've had that experience. I'm sure you have. You know, I would say, Michelle, just remember one of the things I said earlier, create your way through it or else be created upon. So don't figure it. Of course, you see, when I say that, I will get 10 emails that says, well, what do I have to do to create my way through it? It's like, I can't tell you, and it's me creating it. It has to be totally your creation. You have to figure it out. And Michelle is sending the light to, let's see here, Sabre for his health. And then Michael in Jasper, Georgia. Just a second. Healing his friend for a lung infection that meds won't clear up. And Terry in Florida. Wait a second here. Do you know what? My list is screwed up. Believe it or not, I am reading things here from another time. So, for some reason, this is one of those days that everything is screwed up and I'm not getting it right. It's not coming up on our normal healing page. Let me try once more. Okay. Just a moment. Okay. Tina, now we got the right page. Tina is sending the light to Robert, who's having surgery next week for colon cancer. And please send light for complete recovery. And then we have here Michael Adler sending freedom of speech and freedom of the internet. And then we have Marcia sending the light to Jim and Dan, who are fighting with the FDA from sending them to prison. And then we have Pat in Birmingham, She's sending the light to her daughter, Emily. She's depressed, having made a life-changing decision. Now, Pat said that it's not for the highest good. Pat, I want to point out to you that when you say it's not for the highest good, you're evaluating her experience. It's better to say that you think it's not for the highest good. Chris in Memphis is asking for the healing of his face as a result of Bell's palsy and getting a job. And we have here Shri in Chicago. Starting a new job tomorrow. Putting myself and my family in the light wouldn't have been possible without all of you and without the positive energies from our sources. Thanks so much for being part of my life. Somebody in Anonymous in Northern California puts out, I would like to put in the light the strong protection of our U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the protection of American citizens. I agree. And it's very needed now. Lise in Rimrock. We send love and light for her tooth pulling on 319. While we're at it, Terry's going to the dentist this Tuesday. Let's send the light to her tooth. And Joe in Redondo Beach. Healing light to surround and permeate his relationship with his friend, his counseling practice, his clients, my community, humanity, and for Mother Earth, I am grateful. Feel the energy when I said that? That was a very good request. Thank you for that request, Joe. And then Terry in Florida. She puts her mother, Nelda, in the South Carolina in the light and asking for healing for her dementia. And right at this moment, we're going to end that part of it, but if you happen to be one of those people that are in need of something and would like to put it into the light, well, just think it. We're in that reservoir, and right now, tap into that reservoir. That's another way of saying the light, and put the energy into it, and our sources say they're paying attention to us right now. They've done many, many things to indicate that they are. And they happen to be psychic. So hold the thought in your mind right now of what you would like to shift. Remember, for the highest good of all concerned, an honoring free will. And we'll do our, let's see, what time is it? 11:18. We'll do a really quick visualization. I could feel the energies coming together while I was talking. The interesting thing about doing these, talking in front of you all, is what I experience is I'm never talking about something, looking at it. As soon as I say it, it starts to happen. So I learned this. If I talked about the Elohim and Ra, I as soon as I would talk about them, the energy would shift. It was as if they were looking over my shoulder. And waiting behind a curtain to come out and say, here we are. Now, what are we getting? We're getting strange sounds here. Hang on. Just a moment. Okay, we muted those sounds. So we just move right into this idea of the oneness of the universe, and that we, each of us, is at the center of the universe, our own center. Of course, there's no time or space. That's an illusion. So we're all at the same spot of no time and space, but it looks like we're where we are in a physical location. So let's be in the center of that. And we radiate outwards. So we radiate outwards into everything that is us. We radiate outwards into the earth. And those things which are cognizant of the law of one radiate back to us. So we radiate to each other. We radiate to Terry and myself and Daphne. We radiate to our neighborhood. We radiate to the Elohim and Ra groups. And so all we've done is extended our center into radiating to everything that we know that is connected to the law of one. And we can just hold that space for a minute. And I'm going to call in the light, and we will have a message come in through Terry. Let me just see if we hear you, Terry. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, every person on this line, every person on the internet listening, and everyone who listens to the replays. And we see this energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the planets, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through our bodies, and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we invite our sources to give us a message of the day. And by the way, they are welcome to critique or change. If I in my own human consciousness didn't express something accurately, then it's fine with me. In fact, I hope they will clarify it from their point of view so that you guys have the best information possible for this transition. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. Today is the 17th of March, 2013, and we are delighted, absolutely delighted, to be with you and make connection with everybody on the line or who reads a transcript or in any way comes in contact with this material. We are delighted to make connection with those that wish to have connection made. It is very rare that we, the Ra group, the Elohim group, and the all that is, get to connect with individuals in the earth realm. And this morning, Wynn has touched on a few of the very important things. One of them is the energy and the importance of connecting to energies that resonate you into health, that resonate you into well-being, that will resonate you into the knowledge that you are loved and that you are worthwhile. Because when you know that you are worthwhile and you know that you are worthy of love and you know that you are loved more than you can possibly imagine even, then it gives you a new option instead of the options being of either being created or created upon or creating, then there is a new option, and that is the option of co-creating, the option of accepting what is going on with the other person without losing your sense of worth, without getting the feeling that you are being taken over, without being taken over by the other's energy, the option of holding your own space, your own values, your own integrity without being taken into the energy of the other person and allowing yourself to be created upon. So you are holding your own values. You know your own worth. You know you are loved. However, you're accepting and allowing the other person to go through what it is ever that they are going through. And you can take a look at it and you can hold value for them and love for them. And so it isn't just a choice of being created upon or creating. There is co-creation modulated with acceptance and love for the other person, and you can do that if you hold steadfast within yourself, within your own matrix structure, knowing that you are loved, you are worthwhile, and you are not just a rag doll that gets carried into every energy that comes along. However, you can observe. You can even co-create. You can even feel what the other person is going through without being dragged into it totally, because you hold your own structure. You hold your own worth. You hold your own centering. And above all, you can connect with the higher sources and know that they are loving you. We are loving you. We are there for you, so that no matter what you are going through, if you can feel the energy of our love and get into that zone, this will help you hold your own centering, your own structure, your own worth, because we value you, we treasure you. You are very, very significant. You are leaders in your time. The connection brings tears to our energy eyes, for we are making connection. And it is possible to hold an energy reservoir with this connection and to help it back you up, to know you are loved. Thank you.
Thank you. And I say again that we're doing this together. A call like we're doing tonight can't happen over the blue. It's like I couldn't do this. Like if I was talking to a public audience, how could I talk about this? They're not part of this creation. They have to choose to start paying attention, coming to the calls, and feeling the energy. Otherwise, they're just the public. They're coming to be acted upon. And it's okay, because it starts that way. But notice the difference. This is a public call, in a sense, because it's not secret, it's not restricted, it's, you know, it's open to everyone. But in another sense, it's not a public call. And because you folks are coming and holding the energy for it, and you're co-creating the call. This is not an entertaining call. It may entertain you, but I'm not entertaining. One of the reasons, and this is kind of blew me away when I realized that, you know, I start talking, and I go on and on. I can talk for a long time. And I don't think people get bored. People are really engaged. And one of the reasons that I can do this is because we are talking to the one. It's only one energy. And I'm only talking to myself, the larger part of myself that's in you. You know, these are all different ways of saying the same thing, right? We talk about a reservoir. We talk about the law of one. You know, you can get it in your mind, but we're all moving and growing with that experience. And there's empowerment in it. It's like find an image to work with during the course of your day that you can actually work with, that actually works for you, like the reservoir, or that we live inside of each other, or anything that helps you tap into this energy that's always there. And right now, let's move into that energy, which we're already into, and move into that group consciousness, which we've already created, and apply it to the healing of our planet and understanding how this really works. We are a group energy creating intentions that are able to manifest. In fact, everything manifests, most things manifest through group energies and intentions. What did Margaret Mead say? It's a small group of people that can change the world. And in fact, it's the only thing that's ever done so, usually ever done so. I don't know if she had the word usually, but she's right. We're a small group of people, and we're holding a pure intent, and we are working with positive sources that are adding to our intent, and we're co-creating together. And so we're building energies in other dimensions, and we're learning how to do it. Even though we can't see it, we know we're doing it. And we take this group energy and we surround our planet with it. Kind of like like he's got the whole world in his hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. Let's hold the space of this energy around our planet. And we move this energy. Let's take a visual of this. We have the energy around the planet, and it's our energy. It's us. And we move closer to the planet. And as we move closer, anything that's negative just slips through the energy. It doesn't block us. It slips through. We're surrounding it, and it just, we're not trying to change it. We're not trying to eliminate it. It just slips through the energy, our energy field, and we get very close to the planet. And we hold Mother Earth in our light. Can you feel how that connection comes back as we're holding Earth in our light? You know, one day, I'll try this with Daphne. I think we could talk to the Earth through Daphne. We might try it sometime. Be interesting. Right now, let's feel her. Feel her in our love. We see this energy penetrating into the earth, into the crust of the earth. Of course, we've done this many times working on earthquakes, the ring of fire. Well, we're around the entire earth now, and we are working with the ring of fire and all those areas. And we're holding this loving space with the earth. And while we're surrounding the earth, we're sending healing frequencies all over the earth, particularly to chemtrails, to molecularly shift the chemtrails, to Fukushima, to balance the radiation, limit the radiation that's coming from there. And as we get close into the earth, we send this energy to all those evolved people on our planet that have not made a full connection to these energies that are reaching. We send it to the crystal children, the indigo children, all those light workers, all those healers. All those star seeds, all those people that are waking up, and we just share this love with them. And as we strengthen our field, we send this energy to all those people who don't know what to follow and are under the spell of negative creations in this realm. They're not negative, but they're under the spell. They read the newspaper. You send the energy to them as a wake-up. Remember, it's free will. They have to follow their intuitions to tap into this. We give them the possibility. We send the energy to all those negative groups on this planet that are attempting to control everything, who have their agendas. We send it to their compassionate side. We send it to those people in those groups that have considerations about what they're being pulled into. And let's send this light to George Norrie, who every night holds a beacon of energy for millions of people. Who on some level understands these principles that we talk about. And gratitude for letting me reach so many people through his show. And as we create this blanket of energy around the earth, let us ask for all nuclear weapons to be restricted from going off. Send the light to North Korea. We send the light to the Middle East. We send the light to to all those heads of state, all those politicians that are making decisions that they make compassionate decisions, that people in power, people with money, we ask for the highest good. They can tune in to the law of one and make decisions that not only benefit people, but benefit their own evolution. The reason those people make negative decisions is they have not connected with the benefit to their evolution. So we ask that they make those connections. And all those groups on our planet who are striving to make a difference, that they all become empowered. They're all over the internet. You notice it doesn't matter much whether I talk or I don't talk. That's how you know I'm not entertaining anymore. When I can stop talking and the energy stays, we are in the reservoir. We're swimming in the reservoir. And for some reason, it's 11:44 and we have more time. Usually, I don't have enough time and we have more time. So I'm going to do, I hope BBS don't shut me down. When I did this one time, they thought I was finished. We're going to move into this space, hold this energy, and just hold the energy of silence. And silently put everything in the light we can think of you personally, your friends, your planet, your neighborhood. But you're going to do it silently, and we're just going to hold the space for that to happen. Anybody still there?
We're still here. We're doing a silent meditation.
Got
okay.
It. Sorry.
So we'll probably be off at 5:00, okay? Thanks for checking. right now, take this energy and send it to yourself. Allow yourself to feel loved. Know that you are loved. Even if no one in the physical realm loves you, that you are loved by us, by our sources, and it's a love that you can feel that won't go away. And as you let yourself feel loved, you can heal yourself. You can let go of ancient patterns that have been holding you in slavery as a slave. We've all been conditioned to be slaves, every one of us. Maybe not slaves where we're in shackles, but slaves to a system that taps into our energy, that holds you in position, that makes you a battery, and you don't even know you're a battery. Declare your freedom right now. The freedom from all of it, let it go and create your life over the level of where you're being created upon. If you don't create, you end up created upon. Now, it's not always bad to be created upon. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Because just coming to these calls, there's an element of co-creation, but there's an element of being created upon, because we're doing the creation that creates the co-creation. And teaching by example how you can do it. But I know that it's your creation, it's my creation that keeps the energy moving. And if you're not creating onto the energy, invariably or very easily, the being created upon becomes negative and controlling. It's each of our own personal puzzle. There's no one size fits all. So you have to untangle it for yourself. And it is now 11:53. Terry, is there anything you'd like to say before we end this call?
I just would like to say from my human side that there's a zone that I'm getting more and more into, and I'm seeing it, where it's a knowing. It's going into being part of something, being part of the energy, being here, but knowing that all these, the other realm where the Elohim and the Ra and all that is there, and that I'm a part of it. I'm a part of all creation, and I'm very valued. And so it just takes away, knowing that I'm part of that, takes away loneliness. It puts me into a spot of feeling loved, where from that spot of being loved, I can create with enthusiasm and allow other people around me to create without being overtaken. So it's a beautiful space.
You had a long time of feeling that you were overtaken, didn't you?
Uh-huh, I did.
Yeah. You know, it's not easy to do this in this realm because either you're judged or you're overtaken. Or, you know, every time you do something. See, if you do something that's 100% from source, it's also 100% protected. And that's a whole other topic for next week or the week after. But thank you all so much for being here, being part of this great, 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 I won't call it an experiment. What we do next week is an experiment. What we've already done is an accomplishment. It's working. And thank you all for being part of it. I'm going to unmute everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.